Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Shad Marquitz. We are your hosts for this weekend edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Now, this week, kind of another down week, I guess, broadly, for the markets after a very good January, a continuation from that Q4 rebound. Well, February is kind of turning all that on its head, and many things are moving down. Now, again, there's still a bit of room from some of the lows that we saw in Q3 or early Q4 from last year, but it also looks like there's still some pretty defined downtrends in these markets. We'll touch on the markets, metals, as we always do on the weekend show. We're kicking off the weekend show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor over at the Lion Share Pro website, which we will link to in that weekend show posting. Dana, broadly, U.S. equity markets, as I said, started to roll over this month after a pretty strong about 4-month run there. Your take on, well, these markets, are we going straight down to test those lows?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Our take, obviously backed by quantitative and objective evidence like we always talk about, based on our models, we don't see the case for that yet. I think that eventually happens, but our models, our quantitative looks are still keeping us on the long side, net long. Now, as you mentioned, January was obviously historically positive for risk markets, especially the equity market. But as we talked back around the end of January, we don't subscribe as much to the January barometer as some others in our experience, and think history, objective look at history, backs us up that it's been just as common to see kind of the rug get pulled out from under a big January move like we're seeing now than it is to see that move continue. So are we surprised to see this kind of snapback, pullback in risk assets after such a good January? Not at all, like we talked about. And in fact, we booked a bunch of profits towards the end of that rally, end of January into early February, and put on some small hedges in case we get this kind of a pullback that we're seeing now. So that has helped cushion the blow, but our models are still positive. So we haven't avoided all losses entirely for sure this month, but did cushion our blow by pulling our horns in a little bit. But like I mentioned, still our model's still positive. So we're going to give the upside another chance for now until, all of our quantitative things turn down, which they're not now. So still leaning long and buying some into this pullback this week.
Well, Dana, you had mentioned to us that some of the factors in your quantitative model that were leading you to still be on the long side were, you know, the better breadth indicators. And that was something that you used back in 2021 as a signal that when breadth was really falling apart, that we were near a period of corrective action. And that was spot on. And in this case, they're still long. And we've heard other people mention there's some good breadth thrust in the general markets. Maybe just explain to people how you factor that in, because that's really just the health of the overall markets and how many stocks are going up versus going down, that kind of thing. Do you expect to see a sea change there if things were to have another leg lower, or would you expect to see something else in addition to that if we were to actually confirm this move higher has some legs to it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. If this pullback is legit and leading to the next leg down, we would expect to see confirmation of that. Among a unanimous confirmation among all the indicators that we watch, and we're not quite seeing that yet. So as you mentioned regarding the breadth indicators, so that's kind of the tenet of our investment philosophy, is that we want to be aligned with the quote unquote market, what the broad market of stocks is doing. So research has shown that about 70 to 80% of the direction of a particular stock is due to the direction of the overall market itself. So what we want to try to do is figure out the direction of that overall market. So we're looking at the broad market of stocks, you know, stocks as a whole, not individual stocks or a heavily cap weighted average. We want to figure out what the entire market of stocks is generally doing and then align our investment posture with that. If most stocks are going up, which they have been for, you know, since October, November, for the most part, we want to be more aggressively long. And when our components, our models suggest that the majority of stocks are on the downside or headed lower, then we want to pull our horns in, go to cash or put on hedges or sometimes go outright net short in the market. So as you mentioned, that is really a hallmark of our investment philosophy is align, position ourselves in the direction of the overall market. And like I said, right now, we don't have unanimous confirmation in our models that we are potentially headed back down to test or even put a new down leg in below the prior low. So we're going to give the upside another chance here until we have confirmation from our models and our indicators that we're likely headed down. And that will likely happen. As we've talked about before, we are not necessarily that bullish in the longer term. In fact, we think we're in a overall bear market, in particular in the growth segment of the market. I think the bubble that burst about a year ago in the growth segment is kind of what will direct this market over the next several years. So generally, we are bearish and we're not hesitate to sell or short this market when we think it's headed back down. But at the moment, just not at that point yet.
Okay, Dana, I did want you to focus a little bit more on that long-term outlook. So you do think we're still broadly in a bear market. Do any of your models give you insights on what kind of a bear market it's going to be? Because you can make the argument this has already gone on for now about a year and 2 months, and it's been very orderly. It's been kind of a stair-stepping pattern down rather than a capitulation, massive, quick, almost fishing line move lower. Do any of your models tell you how the rest of this bear market is going to be made up?
That's kind of hard to, that kind of crystal ball is hard to read as it pertains to the longer term. So for that reason, we've geared our models, our investment models, our decision makers that actually direct what we're actually buying, selling, shorting to the what we call the intermediate term. So the next 2 to 6 months, roughly, because that's pretty much the max in terms of what we think we can kind of, I don't want to say predict, but what evidence would suggest that we can rely on. So as far as the longer term, it remains to be seen. But we do have, you know, the longer term, what we call background indicators, and we've talked about these on the show plenty of times. When it comes to those longer term market and economic metrics, which don't necessarily feed into our models, but have been generally important in figuring out long-term cycles, those measures are still wildly excessive. Okay, we saw things like, for example, equity valuations, you know, PE ratios, household investments in stocks, things like that. And then you look at even like the Buffett indicator, quote unquote, market cap to GDP. All of these things went to all-time highs, you know, about a year ago, coming into 2022. And yes, we had some corrective action. Obviously, last year was a tough market, but we only saw those measures pull back to, in some cases, what was the prior all-time record high. So definitely still in excessive territory, definitely a lot of froth left in the market that has to come out in the long term. And that type of longer term froth is not, you don't remove that instantly. It's going to take like years to pull that out, drain that out of the system. So if you look at risk from that longer term standpoint, there's ton of risk still left in the system, and eventually will be wrung out, whether we head back straight back down now and go lower for the next several years and wring out that excess risk now. Remains to be seen. How that unfolds remains to be seen, but there's a tremendous amount of risk still on a longer term, so that keeps us kind of cautious on the longer term, and has, you know, at least one eye on the exit, even when we do have a buy signal in our quantitative models, because we don't think this is going to last, but while it's going on, we might as well ride it.
Such a solid point, Dana. And I think that a lot of market participants, when they saw a corrective move really starting in the end of 2021, I would argue third quarter, fourth quarter to present. So it's almost been 16 to 18 months of corrective moves, especially in some of the growth and tech sector and some of the hot sectors, the high flyers. But even when it corrected down, it was still at very high levels, as you just outlined. And the correction didn't really get longer term oversold. So you've been having the mantra lately that, you know, sell the rips in growth, buy the dips in value. What's your take on some of the value sector then? Because they did perform better last year, but sectors like healthcare, consumer staples, energy, you know, even some of the commodities, what's your take on where value is currently?
Yeah, we think the value to growth kind of transition that we saw over the last year, we think it's actually started probably 2 years ago and has gathered steam last year. We think that's just kind of in the early innings, or at least, you know, the first third of the move, probably similar to the kind of transition we saw back around the 2000 bubble top, where growth popped and went down on an absolute basis, obviously, for several years, but on a relative basis, basically till 2007-ish. So I would not be surprised to see that type of a move, or that long of a move, in the favor of value and away from growth. And we've seen, you know, value kind of didn't do much over the last couple of years leading up to that bubble top in growth. And we saw value hang up reasonably well last year. And in fact, we've talked about it, you know, over the last few months, how well some of the value indices had been doing. And we like to look at the what are called the pure value indices, which strip out any of the growth type influence in them. And there are a couple ETFs on the small, mid, and large cap sectors, and each one of them hit all-time highs at the end of the end of January. So not only have they held up well, they're positioned for a breakout and another leg higher. So those are the type of sectors, like you mentioned, that we will be focused on the long side during pullbacks in this, even if we're in a longer term bear market, and into big rallies, big bear market rallies. That's when I think investors want to be selling growth or even hedging with growth on the short side.
Dana, let's also talk about the energy sector too, because energy was on, it seemed like, everybody's mind in the first half of last year. Then it rolled over almost perfectly in the second half of the year. And we are getting just a mix of outlooks for, let's say, something like the oil price. Some people say a recession's coming, oil's going to drop. Other people say China's reopening, oil has a rosy future ahead of it. Look at how good the companies have done. What is your take on energy, more specifically the oil sector?
Sure. So energy and oil obviously have had, they had a couple, you know, a rough decade and a half or so, and commodities in general. So the move, the rally that we saw into early last year, I think was the start of a new bull leg, or a bull market, new longer term bull market, I should say. So just like we're leaning bearish in the longer term in stocks, we'd be leaning bullish in the longer term in commodities. With that being said, nothing's a straight line. Just like we saw a bounce in the equity market since October. That's not going to go straight down. Just, it's the same thing in commodities and crude oil. We're not going to go straight up for, you know, the next decade or so. There'll be ups and downs along the way. But generally, we are bullish on the longer term in crude and commodities in general. Be looking for, right now we're looking for another leg lower, to be honest, in the intermediate term. But I think at some point over the next probably year or so, we'll probably establish a very important low again, and then begin that next up leg in those commodities and crude oil. And same thing with precious metals. In fact, I think precious metals may be ahead of those other commodity markets, energy markets, as far as the cycle is concerned. I think maybe they've already bottomed and we're headed higher. So we would be doing some buying in the precious metals complex into this dip for sure.
Well, Dana, just expanding on that a little bit, because a lot of our audience does not just trade the metals, but also some of the precious metals mining stocks. So the gold stocks, the silver stocks, what's your outlook on where those are at? They've had a pretty big pullback over the last month or so, but is there more pain to come, or is this looking like a spot where more of a short-term trader may get positioned?
Yeah, there might be further downside in the short term for sure. But we've been building a long position in gold and silver and the miners for a while now, at least since the fourth quarter of last year. And we're still buying the dip. We bought a little bit, like I mentioned before with you earlier, a couple weeks ago. Obviously, a bit too soon. We didn't hold those initial support levels. But I think we're headed to the formation of a higher low in across the precious metals complex. So, yeah, we would definitely be adding to our position in the miners, in as well as gold and silver into this pullback here.
Dana, for the miners, do you see them making a run up to those highs in even early last year, back in 2020, where GDX reached over 40?
Yeah, eventually, for sure. Here's the thing. They are equities, ultimately. So if we're in a bear market, a longer-term bear market in the equity market, that's going to certainly be one strike against them. Like I mentioned, with the 70 to 80% of the direction of a stock is due to the direction of the overall equity market. So that's going to be maybe a bit of a headwind as we go forward. Whereas maybe gold and silver, especially gold, has a chance to break out and into new all-time high ground and actually hit higher highs and establish a sustainable run higher above the previous highs. So, but generally speaking, I would expect both to trend in the same direction. So if gold does break out and runs to new all-time highs, I would expect, you know, the miners to make a run at those 2022 or at least, or even 2020 highs at a minimum.
Well, Dana, I know that you also follow some of the other metals like copper, and you had mentioned to us before we started recording today that you were surprised by how resilient it's been. If you look at something like COPEX, C-O-P-X, the ETF that tracks the copper miners, it kind of double bottomed last year, had a big run in the fourth quarter, continued that into January, and it's pulled back, but it doesn't seem like it's pulled back as much as the precious metals. What's your outlook on copper or the copper mining stocks?
Yeah, we've got positions there as well. The miners, like you said, copper miners have been pretty resilient. Copper has been more resilient of late than gold and silver. So we do have a position there as well. Obviously, there are going to be some different influences on copper, perhaps, than gold and silver. But just from a pure technical standpoint, we like the action in the copper miners, COPX, as you mentioned, as well as the price of copper. So generally, we put those in the same camp as the gold and silver and the rest of the precious metals complex. Pretty bullish on that. We'd be definitely building more of a position there as well.
Okay. Dana, as always, thank you very much for updating us on what your models are telling you and how you're trading some of these markets. February's been a bit tougher for investors, but it was a pretty nice run. Overall, though, that generally bear market outlook that you have does align with a lot of other commentators, even after this four-month run where everyone got fairly encouraged, it seemed like. Dana, thank you very much for your time, man. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. Hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.